Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. All right. Well, you guys ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Let's give my beautiful assistant up here a big hand for being with me. She's got notes for me here. I said, honey, you stick to the facts. I'll just do some talking. How's that sound?
Perfect.
All right.
That's how we roll.
I'm the talker for sure. This morning, we're going to talk about being offended. In fact, at the top here, I said, I'm offended. Now, how many of y'all have ever met some people before that's been offended? All right. There's some of y'all that are in church today. It's because you got offended at another church. Hello. But we're going to be talking about it today. I heard a funny joke. Well, it was funny to me. It wasn't as funny to Brandy as it was to me. But there was a guy that he was on a deserted island for 20 years. And they finally got help there. And there was three huts. And they said, sir, what's this first hut? He said, well, that's where I live. And they found another hut. And they said, well, sir, what's this hut? He said, that's where I go to church. Said, sir, what is this hut over here, this third hut? He said, that's where I used to go to church. And even if you're by yourself, you can always find something to be mad about. Amen? You can always find something to be mad about. And so this is really a spirit, especially in the last year in 2020, that there are some things that we've agreed on and haven't agreed on. Hello. Don't get quiet out there on me. There are some things that we could agree on and disagree on. Mm-hmm. But rather than putting a fence between us, there's something that we need to do is we need to walk in love with one another. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to bow to your belief. I'll just put that up right now. And you may be mad about that, but I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to sleep peacefully at night. Amen?
Amen.
And so putting this off, as I began to think about offense, Pastor Brandy came to me and said, hey, we need to speak a couple Sundays on offense. And it is something as pastors we deal with all the time, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came to my mind was, you'll know where I'm coming from right now. How many of y'all have ever been on vacation with your spouse? It even gets better, with your kids. All right? Yeah. Where you need a U-Haul truck just to get to the airport. You know what I'm talking about? Now, Brandy's already going to get offended because we've had many fights over this before, but you don't need to be taking offense to what I'm about to say. I mean, y'all know, it's like going on vacation with Doug. You take stuff you don't even use or need. Heidi, you're all right. She's throwing elbows over here. But how many of y'all know when you have a little one, you have a baby, especially an infant, if you're going to be there 7 days, you take 21 pieces of clothing, all right? Because in the morning, they'll throw up on it. Yep. Then they'll blow up the diaper that it'll get all over you, and you need a new set of clothes as well. And you have all these different bags. Even the other day when we went to Houston, I just went with Pastor Brandy, and I thought we were moving to Houston. I didn't get the note. It was like American Airlines had to pay for 3 bags for 3 nights, right?
One of those were yours, okay?
Yeah.
I had two.
My little corner. Praise the Lord. We're going to walk in love today. Praise the Lord.
Don't lie up here.
But here's the thing. Hey, I have a spirit of evangelastic in me from time to time, all right? Not evangelism, but evangelastic. But how many of y'all, I've been that couple and I've seen that couple before to where they have bags just dripping off of them. They have the cart. They got 14 kids, and they all have bags, and they're pulling bags, and they're going through the airport. They're bumping into people.
There's usually yelling.
Absolutely. There's yelling. There's rolling of eyes. There's not only on your part, but the people around you of like, oh, my gosh, you are in my way, and you are annoying, right? But can I tell you this? When people are offended and mad, you may think that it's just affecting you, but I'm here to tell you, everybody knows about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about it. On Sunday mornings, I can look out and I can tell you, I can spend 2 minutes with you and I can tell whether or not you're mad or offended. And you may think for a second that you're the only one that knows it, but you're not. I promise you, your kids know it. And it may not even be something that it's with your kids. It may be something in the church that you're mad at, but I promise you it's affecting your kids. It's affecting your marriage. It's affecting your friendships. And just like those people that are walking through the airport with all that stuff hanging off of them, that they have stuff or they have bags that they may have bought 10 years ago, there may be some things on you that you don't realize it, but it was something that you took even as a child that you're still carrying today. That's why the Lord says the road to him is narrow, but the road to the enemy is wide. See, that's what's great about the Lord is there's freedom in him. You can't take a lot of baggage where you're going with him. Amen?
Amen.
It's narrow. It's not wide open.
That's right.
So we want to talk to you this morning. I'm offended.
Offended. So I like definitions. I'm a definition kind of person. So Travis says things to me in his lingo that I don't understand. Sometimes I have to look it up because he's not in the Urban Dictionary. He's more in like the 1800s dictionary with his like.
I'm an old soul.
He is an old soul. Like he said, my dogs are barking. And I was like, what does that mean?
Who doesn't know what that means?
Is there anybody out there that didn't know?
I'm okay. Offended now.
And then one time Teddy Peacock said something about, we were dancing. He called it like scooting the rug. What was it?
Scooting the boot.
What?
Cutting the rug.
Cutting the rug. I was like, what does that mean? I've never cut a rug in my life. I just buy the right size and I put it out.
Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me.
So anyways.
They all know what that means.
Everyone knows that what cutting the rug means. Where have I been?
I don't know.
I was raised in church.
I'm glad you came.
We didn't cut the rug in church. It was wrong. It was a sin, so I didn't do it.
Oh, high and mighty. Okay.
I'm just kidding. But offended means resentful or annoyed. Typical result of being insulted. All right, so has anybody ever been insulted? If it's a perceived insult, like it's not really an insult, but you perceive it that way as an insult. Like I'm insulted that y'all are laughing at me about cutting the rug. Scooting a boot. So taking an offense or feeling offended often involves an experience of a negative emotion caused by a word or an action in which conflict that we expect or we believe to be right are appropriate, moral, or acceptable behavior. And so I'm going to put you on the spot. What makes you offended?
Millennials. Even though I am a millennial.
You're an old soul.
Yes. Yes.
So that makes you offended?
Absolutely.
Millennials. Like, what about them?
Oh, how they're lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be... Man, you did put me on the spot.
I did put him on. I just want y'all to see y'all's pastor and see what gets him offended.
I don't know.
If you ask me, I'll give you a list.
I come from a cut of I don't mind burning the candle at both ends, working from dark to dark, and these kids want a lot, but they don't want to pay the price to get what they have. And no offense to any of you kids out there, but even when we were young, I mean. Yeah, I had no problem working every day. I'd lead worship in the morning. I know this is wrong. You need to definitely have a Sabbath day. But, heck, I would lead worship in the mornings and shoe 5-head in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And these kids that want to Netflix and chill, be a bum the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, how many of y'all know, and it makes me angry. But praise the Lord. Now my ears are red, my blood pressure's up.
Take a deep breath.
All right, praise the Lord.
All right, well, I'll tell y'all what makes me offended, and y'all probably know, but it's when Pastor Travis eats the dessert that he's not supposed to. Y'all probably see me at that picnic looking at him like, how dare you? How dare you do that? Huh? Carrie's like, yeah, she does. She
it
gets
is
mad.
Evil. It is evil.
She's agreeing. And so, you know, that's my moral, and I just feel like he should have that too, is have that same moral on the inside of him to do what is right and not eat the dessert, but he does. And so I get offended sometimes. But I want to talk about the first person in the Bible that got offended. And it's in the in Genesis 4. The story tells about Abel, who is a rancher. Now, we got any ranchers out here? Any ranchers? All right. And then Cain, he's a farmer. We got any farmers? I'm kind of a farmer. I have a little garden in my backyard. But anyways, so they brought forth their first fruits. Yeah, that's my farming. And God saw that Abel's was acceptable and Cain's wasn't. And in verse 5, it says, but the Lord did not accept Cain's gift. This made Cain very angry. He was offended. And he looked dejected. And he said, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? Will you be accepted if you do what is right? But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. And what does offense do? Offense controls you, doesn't it? Like everything about you, if you see that person that you're offended at, it has so much control over you. You start getting mad and you get angry and you just don't want to go to the place that they're going because you're offended. So if you're offended at somebody at church, you don't want to go to church anymore, because if you see Jen, you're going to get really mad at her. And if you you just feel like, I can't be in the same room with her. I'm so offended at her. I'm so hurt. And every time I see her, that hurt just comes right back. I'm so mad at her. And so it says that sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. You must be able to subdue it and be its master. So that's what we want to teach you today, is like you've got to become the master over that sin. You have to learn how to overcome that offense in your life, because you know what happens? Offense kills relationships. Now, there might be people in here that don't have a relationship with a son or a daughter because of an offense. Something little that happened 25 years ago that you're holding on to, and you're mad at your child for doing something. Or maybe you wrote off a cousin and you're never friends with them again because of something that happened so long ago. You just held on to that and it killed that relationship. And that's not what God intended. He doesn't want relationships to die. He wants to bring life into those situations. And so offense is caused by a word or an action. That's what we're talking about, where we feel like we can't move past that thing that hurt. And then we do something drastic and kill him, just like Cain. He came in and he killed his brother Abel because he was so offended that God accepted his offering. And so he got mad and he killed him. And so he couldn't move past that. He said, no matter what, I can't go out into the field anymore and look at my brother because God loves him more. Or God accepted his offering, and so I just can't move past it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go kill him. And so too often we do that in our relationships, is we kill those things because we're so hurt by it and we can't move past it. So we got to know that being offended is just a feeling, right? It's not fact. It's not going to last forever. And we have a choice whether or not to move past that offense, or we have the choice to hold on to it, right? And it's so hard to let it go. But we're going to give you some steps on how to get past those offenses.
And I think if we both talked about this yesterday, if we're going to learn how to get past this, we need to see how offense works. Yeah. And number one, wrote this down. I know this is very original here, but number one, you get offended. Now hear me out. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, King James, it says, Jesus is talking, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. What is he saying? We're all going to be at a place where we can have the choice whether or not to be offended. And this word offense here, I looked it up in the Greek, and it's the word scandalon. It's where we get the word scandalous or a scandal. It means it's described as a small piece of wood that was used to keep the door of an animal trap propped open. A piece of food was placed inside the trap to lure the animal inside. When the animal entered the trap and accidentally bumped the scandalon or the small piece of wood, the scandalon collapsed, causing the trap door to slam shut and the animal to be caught inside with no way of escape. Listen to the word in the New Testament. This is what it means. It's referred to a stone or an obstacle that caused one to trip, to stumble, to lose footing, to waver, to falter, or to fall down. It says in 1 Peter 2:8, which goes with this word in the New Testament of scandalon, it says, and a stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. What is he telling us here? He's telling us that there was somebody that's going to do something that they shouldn't have. Amen? There's going to be somebody going to say something that they shouldn't have said. There's going to be something, not do something that they should have done. I don't care if they said for richer or for poor, there's going to be some people that is going to redo some things, and if you're not careful, you'll be a part of this rock of stumbling and get offended. It's easy. We all come to a place where it's going to be easy to be offended.
Yep, for real. In 1 Corinthians 11:18, now Paul wrote this because he knew, obviously, that the church was going to have a little bit of trouble getting along and loving each other, and he says, I've been told many times, when you meet as a congregation, divisions, cliques emerge. And to some extent, this doesn't surprise me. So he's not surprised at all that this happens. Yet, this is in the Word of God, but how many times have people come to us and said, well, I went to the event and nobody talked to me. And, you know, they sat in the corner and acted like they don't want anybody to talk to them, so nobody talked to them. And so I've heard people say, oh, well, it's just too cliquey at that church. I feel like people don't really say that about our church, but maybe I just think our church is perfect because I love you guys. Y'all are all awesome. Yeah. But I hear it is like, you know, it's too cliquey. But look, it's already in the Bible that Paul knew that this was going to happen, and it's going to be an issue that we're going to have to learn to move past these kind of things and come together and unite together as Christians and not be cliquey and not have groups and divisions. And so you got to know, don't be surprised if this kind of thing happens, right?
That's absolutely right. So I believe this is something that we need to take from this. Rather than be offended, let's not be surprised by it. Everybody say, don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised, because I'm going to tell you, people will pass you by. They won't see you. Mm-hmm. And can I just tell you this, that there may be somebody that you're offended at, and I promise you 9 times out of 10, they don't even know why you're mad. You can't go to the restaurant, because I remember there was a time that we used to go there, and you may be thinking to yourself, every time I go there, I remember when such and such. I promise you, they're not thinking the same thing that you're thinking. Amen.
Has anybody ever come up to you and said, I've been really offended at you, but I forgive you? And you're like, what in the world did I do?
100.
But you don't want to ask, because then you're scared that it's going to like bring back that offense. And you're just like, please forgive me. But that happened to me. And still to this day, I can tell you exactly where that person told me that she was offended at me. And I still wonder to this day, like 10 years later, like, what in the world did I do? Because I want to be a better person. So if I offended you, like, tell me what I did so that I can be better and not do it again. But a lot of times they don't want to say it. They just want to say, I've been offended at you.
Yep, and they're still offended if they say it like that.
Yep.
Don't be surprised.
But I'm praying for you.
That's right. Yeah, I am. I pray you die in Jesus' name, whatever. But don't be surprised. Your spouse will offend you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I didn't get very many. How many of y'all know your spouse will offend you?
Amen.
Hey, don't not. Amen. Too loud.
You,
I mean, I was wanting more.
Amen loud, so.
How many of y'all believe your boss will offend you?
Yeah.
Your best friend will offend you. And can I just help you with this? Don't be surprised. This will help. This has helped me. Not everybody was raised the way that you were raised.
Yeah.
Amen. Not everybody was raised the way that you were raised. Mm-hmm. When I look on Facebook and see some of the things that people put out there, I think they are a crazy person. Like, literally, I think, man, they need to be on mental drugs for the things that they put out there for people, everybody to see.
Are you offended at them?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe.
But how many of y'all, people were not raised the same that, so when people say things, I think to myself, that's one of the things, millennials, but also too, here's one. I've always been in youth ministry, and even in the church, you can always, and this is no offense to anybody. Remember, we're not talking about being offended, but you can always pick out an only child. The only child didn't say amen, but everybody else that has like five siblings, you're like, amen, come on, somebody. They think about themselves, not me. I couldn't afford to think about myself. I had other siblings to share things with. But when somebody is an only child, they're raised completely different than you were inside of your home. And so how many of y'all believe that sometimes in interaction with people, and you know, there's sometimes people are rude. And they may have been raised in a home of rudeness. You also don't know what they've been dealing with at their job. You don't know what they've been dealing with at their home. We do, at times, you need to extend grace, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just, you know, let them know that they're being a jerk. But how many of y'all know, don't be surprised. If the Word of God says don't be surprised, can I tell you this morning, don't be surprised. Not everybody was raised the way that you were raised. Not everybody, you know, there's you know, even me, growing up, I'll tell you, it'd be easy for me to be offended. Growing up in church, there's like a culture that you learn. And those of you that were raised in church, there's like a culture. And there's some things that people do sometimes in the church house, and I think, what in the world? Man.
Like, I was not allowed to get up and go to the bathroom.
Me neither.
Like,
you would go to hell for that.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. Can't get up and walk around. My mom would kill me.
No talking when the teacher's talking.
Exactly.
All right, moving on.
We get slapped.
Yeah, oh, amen. Especially with that ring finger.
Actually, my mom would just give the look. I can see your mom kind of giving you like a slap on the head, but my mom,
oh, absolutely.
She just give you that look, and it's like, after church, we're dealing with this, and it's not going to be pretty. Then you're like sitting up with
parents,
your hands.
Parents, have you ever given your kids that look? All right.
Then you're just sitting there with your hands in your lap, and you're not going to move and hope that she forgets that you did that.
Yes. So number one, everybody say it, don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised.
All right, here's the next one. We have, the first one was, you got offended. Here's right. Number two, take offense. There's a difference between getting offended and taking the offense. There's a difference. Can I tell you this? Don't allow this to be easy. There's people in here that's been walking with Christ for 5 years and you still get mad about the stupid things. I'm telling you, grow up. Amen? There's people who have been serving God for 10 years, and you get mad still about the same things. They didn't talk to me, or I don't like this, or I don't like that. And I'm telling you, it's written all over your face that you don't like a certain person or a certain thing. The more you grow in Christ, you need to go to new levels. You need to go to new levels. See, when you're down here and a new creation and brand new, we see it in you that you ought to get mad at little things. But those of you that have been serving God from faith to faith, to glory to glory, seeing things now from a heavenly perspective, you still can't get mad about the carpet. Amen? You still can't get mad about the paint. You still can't get mad about, oh, it's too loud, or it's not loud enough, or it's too cold, or it's too hot. Come on. You're not the only one inside the room.
Right.
And not let it pull you away from what God has in store for your life.
Amen.
Or what the pastor says. How many of y'all know you'll get offended at the pastor? Amen.
Amen.
And here's another thing. Don't put it on social media. Yes, 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 yes. Lord have mercy. Cry baby. I'm going to tell you, there's some of y'all, I write things up to say to you. I promise you. And it ain't nice. And there's emojis like a cry baby. And a bottle, and a crybaby, and a bottle. And it's like, you are 50 years old. Grow up, you weenie. We're going to talk about this. All right.
But then the Holy Spirit
offended.
Taps you on the shoulder,
and said,
right?
Don't get offended. Praise the Lord. Start to understand some situations and give grace.
Yes.
See, when we take offense, lots of times it's because we made an assumption about somebody. Or we set too high of an expectation on somebody. Or we have some kind of other reality. How many of y'all know? I mean, it's easy as this. Just talking about Facebook, you'll be scrolling across and you'll see a friend, somebody you really like, and they'll have a different political view than you. Oh, Lord. I don't know about y'all, but it just makes... They suck. You know? And I'm like, they are terrible. Oh, my gosh. We have different assumptions about people. And how many of y'all know this year... COVID, from phone call to phone call, it would change. I talk to these old cowboys, they'd be like, ah, a bunch of baloney. You talk to other people, oh my God. They have a mask on in the shower. Right? But how many of y'all know, if we're not careful, their reality will put a fence between us. They'll put a fence between a loved one we love and someone we care about and want to see them in the land of the living. And if we're not careful, that their issue will make us an issue. Amen? Other things, parenting.
Yeah, parenting's a big thing, isn't it? You know, people want to tell you how to parent their kid, especially the people that don't have kids. It's always funny because they have an opinion. But every kid is different, and you don't understand. We get kind of some looks for Ketch, don't we? And he's just a harder child to parent, and I can't whip him 50 times a day, or I guess I could.
We still do that, by the way.
We do whip him, but it's just like, you know, if he was my kid, then I wouldn't let him do that. And now that he's my fourth, I'm like, what's it going to hurt if he crawls up onto the coffee table and dances and runs around in his underwear? It's not hurting anybody, but people have opinions about how we should parent our kids. Does anybody else have people that tell you what to do with their kids? Yeah, you're like, you don't understand this kid.
If he was my child.
But God gave him to me, and I know what to do with him.
Thank God he's not yours. Hello.
He would hate it at your house.
Yeah. Sorry. And this year, well, what do we have? We have pro-vaccine, non-pro-vaccine.
Yeah.
We have Epstein killed himself. Epstein was killed. Moving on. Praise the Lord. We have, you know, how many of y'all know even sports teams can come between people? We got Longhorn fans. We got OU fans.
And for me, I just don't understand why you wouldn't love a Texas team. I get so offended every time I see your OU license plate. I'm like, are you not a Texan? Come on. Like, come over to Texas. I'm a Texas proud person.
Hey, don't be offended now. Let's stick to the word. Let's stick to the word.
All right.
Second. I'm offended at JC right now. I'm not even going to lie.
Move on.
Moving on. Read it.
2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we've got to take every thought captive.
Absolutely. And you know, we've already kind of given you some examples. Not everybody was raised the way that you were. Not everybody has the same thought process that you have because of raising, or maybe, you know, there's people that's been in the military, or there's a different idea that somebody's had because of maybe an organization that really guided them of a certain behavior or a certain way to think. But that's what we have to do when we want to take the offense. Actually, instead of taking the offense, let's take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. And so it's so important that we do that. You look at Philippians chapter 4, we think on things that are pure and of a good report. Let's think on things that build us up. Let's think on things that are honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. We can always find something good to say about the situation. Amen? I'm going to say that one more time. We can always find something good to say about the situation. And rather than being offended and holding on to that thing, you know, you may not invite them over for fried chicken anymore, but we are, rather than taking the offense, we're going to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you right now, offense will build offense. It'll build a fence. And if you're not careful, when you build that fence, it doesn't matter who's on the other side. It could be your loving husband. It could be your mama. It could be your daddy. But you built a fence because of the neighbor has ticked you off so bad. When you built that fence, it now is so heavy that it's affecting every relationship in your life. You may not think that it is, but I promise you it is.
I think in building that fence, a lot of times some people put up what they think is a cute little white picket fence that it's like, oh, it's just going to separate us. But then that white picket fence turns into like a brick and mortar fence where it's like, I mean, so heavy and so much that's going into it. And they just lay it brick by brick, getting madder and madder, blocking that person, cutting them, and just really carrying that heaviness around.
And that's good. Man, that's so good, because that goes to the next step. You can be offended, then take offense. Here's the third one. Resentment sets in. Yeah. And bitterness. Yeah. How many times have we been in counseling sessions before with somebody who's mad at so-and-so, and I could tell that they didn't want to be unmad. I could give them every step to help them, but they didn't want to do anything. They wanted to hold on to 20 years ago. Yeah. They wanted to hold on to 25 years ago. What has happened is bitterness has stepped in. And you, can I tell you this? You can't departmentalize bitterness. I'm going to say it again. You may think that you keep it at one particular place in your life. Bitterness will go everywhere with you. Yeah. It'll affect your job. It'll infect your employment if you're not careful. Because of the bitterness that you had towards mama of something she said 15 years ago, you are now treating all your employees or the people that you work with the same bitterness that you had 15 years ago. You can't departmentalize it. It affects everything. Everyone sees it. You think you're hiding it, and you're not. But I just want to help you with this. And those of you that have been on morning prayer, I've been really hitting hard. God's power raised us from the dead. I'm going to say it again. God's power raised us from the dead. And I believe those that really see themselves, I can really see somebody who is in Christ when they are not offended at things. People who have a strong in Christ relationship with the Lord are the ones who are not going to nitpick everything, because they don't see themselves by way other people see them. They see themselves the way God sees them. And in Ephesians chapter 2, I love the Passion Translation, verse 1, and it says, "And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins," listen to it, "and offenses." It says, it wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. You go back and read this, but he tells us this, that we were dead in sin. We were dead in trespasses. We were following the prince of the power of the air. In fact, in verse 3, it says that we were the children of wrath. How many of y'all know your old life, before you came a new creation in Christ, you were a deadbeat, nobody, counterfeit, no good. Come on. Three hands. Praise the Lord. I'll lift up four for you. A lying, cheating, dead beaten, two timing, no good, counterfeit punk. Right? We all were. And God took that, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life and we repented of our sin, we admitted our sin, we believed, and we confessed him as Lord. What happened is, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, sorry to preach right now, but in 6:19, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a highly decorated shrine on the inside of us. So that past, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. He didn't put a Band-Aid on you. He didn't put, you know, fix you. What he did was make a brand new you. Come on, he made a brand new you. Come on, how many of y'all believe that? He made a brand new you. He made a brand new you. So you need to let go of those old things. You need to let go of those things. And as you begin to see yourself in Christ, we were children of wrath. But it says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "But God, rich in mercy, rich in love, rich in grace." When I promise you, your mama had no right to deserve you, or your daddy had no right to deserve you or forgive you. When you had grandparents that shouldn't have forgiven you, and probably may not today, but this is where you see yourself in Christ. It don't matter what grandpappy's pappy's pappy thought about me. What matters is today what Jesus Christ thinks about me. I am forgiven of my sins. He has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. You may have screwed up things inside your neighborhood. You may have screwed up things inside of your employment. And I'm here to just tell you, there's a rule in the earth. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But I'm telling you, in the things of the Spirit, God sees you as a treasure in earthen vessels. A treasure. Come on, how many of y'all know X marks the spot? We are a treasure. Say, I am a treasure.
I am a treasure.
I'm a treasure. I didn't mean to preach.
Come on, baby.
But if you're not careful, resentment will set in. So the way that we fix that is what?
We got to know who we are in Christ.
That's right.
We got to know who we are in Christ. You are chosen. You are loved. The greater one lives on the inside of you. He's called you. You're chosen for a purpose. And you know what? How to get to know that is you got to spend time in the Word. I'm a big advocate for spending time in the Word every single day because you can't just come here and expect that Pastor Travis is going to tell you who you are in Christ. He is going to tell you. But what? We got 30 minutes with you on Sunday. And Monday morning, you're going to hopefully not forget, but a lot of times we do forget who we are in Christ unless we are intimate with Him and know who we are by reading that. Because when you read the Word, it speaks to you. It's living. It's powerful. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And whenever you grasp who you are in Christ, that you're more than a conqueror, that you're an overcomer, and the only way you can get that is not because I'm telling you, is when you actually read those scriptures and you say, this is who is, He's talking about me. He's talking about me. I'm called. I have favor. God is faithful to do all these things in my life, but you don't understand that because I always tell people God is so faithful to heal you. And if you don't have that revelation that He's faithful to heal you because you don't have that Word on the inside of you, so you've got to know who you are. If I'm not spending time with Travis, then he doesn't know who I am, right? If we lived in the same house and we never spent time together, we wouldn't know who each other were. I wouldn't know his voice, but whenever we go to Walmart, I can hear him three aisles away from me laughing, and I know that is my man because I spend time with him. I can find him at any event because I can hear his voice. I know him. I'm intimate with him, and that's how it is with our walk with Christ, and knowing who you are in Christ is being able to know what he says about you and grasping onto it and spending time with him so that you can hear his voice and know who you are in Christ.
That's so good. Which leads us to the next one. After resentment, it's broken relationships come after resentment. And it bleeds into everything. And can I tell you this? How many times have we said, he knows better. She knows better. I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to come at this time. He knows better or she knows better. Can I tell you, the person that you're, just like Pastor Brandy just talked about, the person where it hurts the most is the one that you're closest to. Why does it hurt the most from them? It's because they are close enough to put the knife all the way through the back. I can throw daggers at David from here, right? And he can dodge them all he wants to. See, the people that you're not very close to, or somebody that asks you to be friends on Facebook, that you just, you know, you accepted the friendship because they ask you to be friends. Those wounds don't hurt. But the ones that you're close to. How many of y'all know the knife can get, I mean, you can really shove it in the heart when you're close to somebody. It's those people that it hurts the most. And it's those people, it's the moms, it's the dads, the one that we think to ourselves, they should know better. But that's why it's so important that we have a relationship with the Lord. Because can I tell you this? He will never leave you, and He'll never forsake you. The Bible says, cast all your care on Him, for He what? He cares for you. He cares for you. Pastor Brandy, read that, Isaiah 54.
Isaiah 54:10 says, even if the mountains were to crumble and the hills to disappear, my heart of steadfast, faithful love will never leave you, and my covenant of peace with you will never be shaken, says Yahweh, whose love and compassion will never give up on you. He'll never give up on you.
So here's the thing. Know who you are in Christ. And here's the next one. Walk in love. And the reason I say walk in love, that may be a cliche. Don't just talk in love. We can mention love all we want to. We can quote 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious. It's not boastful. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's 1 Corinthians 13. I've read it so much that I've memorized it in my heart. But I can have it in my heart and still not walk in it. That's why James says, don't be a hearer of the word. He says, be a doer of the word. And there's a lot that comes from speaking it out of your mouth that's going to help you do it. And we're going to talk about that next week, of how to tear down these offenses. But we wanted to talk about where they come from. But I love this text and this scripture right here. He says, even if the mountains were to crumble and the hills to disappear, my heart of steadfast, faithful love will never leave you. See, that's seeing yourself walking in love. See, lots of times, I'll tell you this, broken people try to break people. Hurt people want you hurt. Hurt people want you hurt. They want you to feel what they're feeling. And this is why it's so important that a walk with Christ is so valuable and so important, that we walk in love. We just don't talk about it, but we actually walk in it. Like, we think about, what, Pastor, what's the answer? I'll tell you the answer. It's forgiveness is what it is. And I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be easy. But can I tell you the greatest model we have of forgiveness? His name is Jesus. I'll tell you again, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. I'll say it one more time. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Come on. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. See, this is what I love about the cross. It's a pretty thing with flowers and all that stuff on it, but I want to tell you, it wasn't a pretty thing. It was people that turned his back on him, made lies about him, spit in his face, persecuted him, put a crown of thorns that he didn't deserve, said things about him that was not true. But yet, in the middle of the cross, what did Jesus say? He said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you have the same experience? I want to tell you, that person that's close to them, say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I tell you, you need to fix you before you fix somebody else. I'm going to say that again. In offense, you need to fix you before you fix somebody else. Lots of times we get offended because we want to control. And if we can't control how they act, what they say, and what they do, I'm offended. You know what you need to control? You. I'm going to say that again. That's by the Spirit of God. You know how you need to control? You. Get in the Word of God. Like Pastor Brandy just said it. Read this thing. Listen to this. Right here, it'll change your life. It'll make you new. Forgiveness is the answer, and we're going to talk about that next week. But I'm here to tell you this morning, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Come on, with every head bowed and with every eye closed. As I was talking this morning, I believe this with all my heart. There's somebody here in this room. As we were even talking, there was somebody that you kept thinking about. Pastor, but you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. I'm telling you right now, you can justify anything in the world. You can justify drugs. You can justify alcohol. You can justify anything. You don't know my situation, but there's people in here today, you were thinking about somebody. You were thinking about something. Who is that? Just be bold this morning. Lift your hand. Got hands all over the room. Got hands all over the room. We all deal with it. Jesus said it. Offense will come. God, I pray for these that lifted their hands this morning that were obedient. Lord, we get in agreement. And Lord, I pray that freedom comes. I pray, Lord, that they would know who they are in Christ. I pray that they would walk in love. Lord, that they would not be surprised. Lord, I pray that they would just begin to see through your word this morning to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so, Lord, right now I pray that the power of God goes into operation and that they would see themselves as a treasure in earthen vessel. Lord, set them free this morning. Set them free this morning in Jesus' name. Still with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I can honestly say that I do not have a relationship with Him. I tell you right, you'll stay mad for the rest of your life if you don't have a relationship with the rock. You'll crumble away. So if you're in here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, you don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I've hurt. You don't know what I've injected in my arm. I don't care about any of that. I want to tell you right now, if you just admit your sin to God, you believe in your heart that He died, He was buried on the third day, rose again, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I promise you healing will come to you. He'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you're out there today and say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you feel like you don't have a relationship with Him anymore and you want to mend that relationship. You feel like you've burned up the contract and you want a brand new contract today. I'm telling you, He wants to forgive you. If you're out there and you say, Pastor, that's me, then pray this prayer after me. I want everybody to pray this. Say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I'm separated from you. This morning, I believe that you died, you were buried, and on the third day, resurrection power came. So God, this morning, I confess you as my Lord. Come live in my heart. Make me new. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, renovlifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.